Welcome to Season 11, Episode 6 of the Ubuntu Podcast. In this episode, we're going to review the Dell XPS 13 9370 Developer Edition laptop. We'll also have some command line love, and we'll go over your feedback. I'm Mark, and joining me this week are Alan.
Hello, you.
And Martin.
Hello, hello.
So how are you two doing?
Very well.
Much the same as last week.
Much the same. Ah, yeah. Nothing new and exciting to update us on since then?
No more ThinkPads have arrived since last week.
No more ThinkPads.
Yeah, I'm still drinking Old Speckled Hen.
Oh, not my favourite. So you've been playing around with a laptop then, have you, Martin?
I have not been. Not a ThinkPad. I have been playing around with a laptop. So,
go on then. Tell us all about it.
All right. Okay. So friend of the show, Barton George, arranged for us to get hold of the new Dell XPS 13 9370 Developer Edition. So for those of you who aren't aware, Dell have a whole range of laptops that you can buy pre-installed with Ubuntu. Mm-hmm. And their flagship device is the XPS 13, which is an Ultrabook. And it has a 13-inch screen in it, but the form factor of the laptop chassis is the size of an 11-inch device. So you get all the benefit of a 13-inch screen in a really small device. And this is their latest offering.
Sorry, just clarify, it is a 13-inch device, isn't it? The screen doesn't stick out the sides.
No, it's not like one of those ThinkPad 701 butterflies where it folds out or anything like that.
No, not one of those. So what they've done is they've coined this phrase infinity edge display, and they have really, really thin bezels around the display so that you get this 13-inch screen, but there's almost no bezels, and consequently that's how they're able to shrink the rest of the form factor.
So it's what would be an 11-inch form factor if you had an 11-inch screen with big bezels around it.
Yes, exactly.
What's the specs? If we give us the quick rundown of the specs.
Okay, so this is an i7. So we got, in my opinion, this is the best configuration you can get, and I'll touch on that a bit later. But this is an 8th generation Intel Core i7. It's an 8550U processor. So it has 4 cores and 8 threads. And this is a CPU that's designed for the Ultrabook line of devices. It's a low power chip, and it has Intel UHD graphics, and the model that we had was 16 gigs of RAM, and it has a 512 gig PCIe NVMe SSD, and it has killer 1435 wireless and Bluetooth combo chip.
Is that the brand name, or is it just really good Bluetooth?
I think both. I think that's one stone, two birds. It does work very well, as it happens, both in fact. It has the 13.3-inch screen. Now, the model that we had was 1920 by 1080 resolution with the matte screen. So this is not a non-touch screen, and it's not the UHD option that's available. And I'll come back to that later, but I think this screen is the right one. Now, I have the previous models of this. I have a 9360 and a 9350. And some of the changes are this new model just has Thunderbolt ports. Just has USB-C ports. So it has 3 USB-C ports, one on the right and 2 on the left. Mm-hmm. All 3 can power stroke charge the device. And that's the only way that you power or charge the device. And the 2 on the right are both Thunderbolt 3 enabled, and each have 4 PCI lanes available. So if you have one of these new spangled external graphics adapters, then you can plug those in there and unlock the full potential.
It would be great if we knew somebody who had one of those and could try it out.
Or someone who had 2 of them.
I know, right? Isn't this convenient?
happens if you plug 2 of them in?
It's exciting stuff. You can do all sorts of good things.
Okay.
It's not like I didn't try. It has a card reader and a headset jack and a lock to lock it to the table. And there's a 720p webcam integrated, and it's got a full-size UK keyboard. And it has a 52-watt-hour battery and a 45 watt USB-C charger, which is really, really small. So a lot of times you hear people talking about, you know, the size and weight of a laptop, and then completely discount the fact that you have this colossal power brick that you also have to carry around with you that weighs as much, if not more, than the laptop that you're, you know, talking about how thin and light it is. The adapter for this laptop is about the size of a box of matches. It's just a little bit wider, but that's how small it is. It's quite amazing.
Does that mean
you're talking about a little box or like a box of cook's matches?
Oh yeah, are we talking ship's matches or
yes, we're talking ship's matches.
Right, okay.
The small boxes.
Yeah.
And in terms of how long it takes, from 2% charge on the battery, it took about an hour and 40 minutes to fully charge.
Okay.
So quite reasonable. So that's the hardware, and this is
how much it cost. How much would that respect?
As near as makes no difference. This is £1,500, or approximately $2,000 at today's exchange rate.
Okay.
So
what does it come with?
In terms of Ubuntu.
In terms of anything in the box or on the disk, everything.
So in terms of what's in the box, it comes with the power adapter and a USB-C to USB-A. Adapter and the power brick, and pre-installed on the computer is Ubuntu 16.04. That's original Ubuntu 16.04, so it doesn't have the latest hardware enablement stack pre-installed, and it does have quite a lot of pending updates. So when I turned it on and it had, you know, Word in the background, it had a bit over 700 meg of updates that it wanted to download and install, and about 200 meg of removals that it wanted to perform as well, because there's been some changes over the lifetime of 16.04, which means there was actually software that needed to come off the system.
So it's basically 2 years worth of updates.
Yeah. Essentially, yes.
And is it similar to the Dell image that we've seen on previous devices, where it has Chrome and Chromium and
identical.
No Windows key working by default?
Yeah, exactly the same as what we've seen. Yeah. So Alan reviewed the 9360 a year ago.
Yeah.
And it is the same image as far as I can tell.
Right.
And yes, it comes with Chromium and Chrome, and there's no Firefox.
That funky Dell recovery stuff.
And it has that. Yeah, I think that's terrific as well. It's extremely useful. So it has a tool where, as part of the first boot, you can make a USB stick of a recovery image. But also, if you choose not to do it during the setup process, you can go back and request that a recovery image is made at any point. So that's a really handy feature. And it's not like stock Ubuntu recovery image. It's this Dell, you know, enabled image.
Cool.
So now, what's your first impression of the thing?
My first impression is it's extremely high quality, like the previous models.
It's not bent like the first one we got.
No, so unlike your review unit, which I think had been round the houses, I was definitely the first person to put my grubby little fingers on this device. So it was in pristine condition. The cardboard box outer is brown and uninteresting. The black box that actually houses the computer is very elegant, and it's extremely well presented. And right away, you know that this is a quality product, and you can tell by the price tag, it's expected to be a premium product, and everything about that exudes this sort of quality and premium feel. It's an aluminium body, so there are a couple of different versions available in this model, but I think the Ubuntu version is only available in the aluminium body with that same soft touch carbon fiber surround on the keyboard.
So is that a change from the previous models? Because didn't they have some sort of magnesium oxide or something chassis before?
I think it's the same. This body is slightly smaller.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, the chassis is thinner and slightly smaller, and the whole thing is lighter, but the general construction feels the same, and I think it's aluminium.
Okay, cool.
One change from the previous models is there used to be a little lift-up flap on the underside, which had all of the model numbers. That's gone now, and that information is now etched into the underside.
That did seem somewhat over-engineered. I mean, it was cute having all the regulatory stuff under a flap, but completely unnecessary.
Now, we talked about this Infinity Edge display. Believe it or not, the bezels on this model are even smaller than the bezels on the earlier models.
How do they do that?
I just don't know. They claim it's 22% smaller. With my eyes and my new prescription glasses, it looks a bit smaller, but, you know, I don't know how you measure it precisely. Yeah.
I find it interesting that on the website they describe it as the Dell the XPS 13 Dell Cinema laptop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I think is in part due to the next gen Infinity Edge display. I wouldn't have a cinema screen quite this small, but I guess it's
I think it feels like this is totally targeted to the 11-inch MacBook purchaser.
Yeah.
So someone who wants something super small, who wants something very lightweight to carry around, but likes the robust premium feel of of an Apple laptop, but wants a higher end display, higher resolution, decent display, and lots doesn't necessarily power. Want to buy Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, definitely.
On the point about the display, I've already said this was the 1080p model. And I think that's the right model. It's excellent quality. It's extremely bright when you want it to be. It can be used outside comfortably. And I think this is the screen to get in this device, because it's, for the size of the screen, it's the right balance between resolution and battery endurance. But if you like lots of pixels, there is a model of this available which has a UHD display, which is 3840 by 2160. So that's what we... In the same size package.
That's ludicrous.
So when that resolution is scaled up, you know, the pixel doubling, that gives you an effective resolution of 1080p.
I'm just jealous because I'm old and my eyes don't work anymore, and I'm just envious that I wouldn't be able to appreciate how awesome that would look. That's all it is.
Now, this is important because the previous versions, their high DPI models were QHD, which is 3200 by 1800. It does integer scale, but it only gives you an effective resolution of 1600 by 900.
Right. It doesn't integer scale to full HD. I mean.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that that's quite kind of nice, but you do pay the battery endurance tax if you go for these high DPI screens.
Alan. Yeah. Can I just cut in there? When you say it doesn't integer scale, for people who aren't familiar with high resolution screens and what the hell that means, could you just clarify?
So if you've got a super high resolution display and you want to scale it, i.e. you don't want to have all the window decorations to be super tiny and impossible to hit with a tiny, tiny mouse cursor, you will likely scale all the things on the screen up. And if you scale by a round whole number, like 2, then you'll get a 1080p display. But some resolutions, mathematically, if you just, as the Americans say, do the math, if you divide by 2, you don't get a whole number, a whole resolution that is a nice high one like 1080p. You get a horrible one like, Martin said, 1600 by 900 or some other awful abomination. So yes, that's why, like, fractional scaling is a problem, and like full round number scaling is quite a good thing. So if it's a resolution that can be scaled like that, then that's good.
And the significance of integer scaling is that the current toolkits only offer integer scaling, not fractional scaling.
Yeah, I was kind of glossing over that. But so what about the keyboard? It's super thin, and the thing is lightweight and everything. How does it work in terms of actually sitting using it as a?
It's excellent. The keyboard and trackpad are both excellent. The keyboard has 3 backlight levels, just like the previous versions. Mm-hmm. There is a change. So it says it's got 1.3 millimeters of travel on the keyboard, which I think is more than the earlier models that I have. I can't discern much of a difference between the two. There is a slightly deeper actuation point on this new one, but it didn't feel so different. The one thing they have changed on this new model, though, is that there are discrete page up and page down and home and end buttons now, which actually I'm not a fan of, because I used to use function, page up, function up and down to be page up and page down, and now they're on the top row of the keyboard, and function up and down now adjust the screen brightness. So I'm forever changing the screen brightness.
I think that's just a familiarity thing.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's a personal opinion. And, you know, if you've used an earlier model, that might irk you. And if you haven't used an earlier model, you may not notice it.
Right.
But yeah, I can rattle out things on that keyboard just as effectively as I can on any of my mechanical keyboards. It's pretty great.
So one of the things everyone always asks about is battery life in these ultrabooks.
Yeah.
How was that?
So in a sort of my real world use, which is sort of some code editing, looking at the web, and in this case using Chrome because that's what was pre-installed, and building snaps and iterating on stuff and watching a bit of YouTube in the evening, I was comfortably getting 9 hours out of this laptop. And I think this was the screen at about 50% brightness, which is plenty bright for this particular model. Now, that's after I did make some changes. So I did use PowerTop Calibrate to calibrate the system, and then I had AutoTune run on each boot to automatically turn on all of the various power saving options that are available, all of the tunables. And that does drop the discharge rate down from about 6 watts to somewhere between 3.8 and 4 watts when you're just using the computer normally, you know, when you're not taxing it. So that is sort of a battery life change of from sort of 8 hours to the top end of 11 hours by doing that. But yeah, I found the battery life to be more than enough. I used it on the flight to Seattle. I didn't use it for the whole flight, but I used it for a few hours. And actually, that's an interesting point. So if you've ever flown economy class and Virgin Atlantic or BA, they have these really small fold-down trays that you put your poor quality sandwiches on when they throw them at you. And actually, this particular laptop fits on that tiny little tray with enough space that you can comfortably type on it, something that I can't do on my XPS 15 by comparison. So yeah, and the CPU temperatures were reasonable. When I was just using it normally, the CPU temperatures were around 50 degrees, but I wasn't able to pick up any sort of warm spots to the touch around the body or the keyboard.
What about the fan? Does that spin up much?
I can't hear it, you know, when you're doing normal stuff. When you really push it, when you play some games, for example, that does drive the fans up, but they're not particularly loud at all. And certainly if you're using the internal speakers for the game audio or music, you won't hear the fans.
What are speakers like?
Well, laptop speakers are generally a bit not good. These are on the better side of what you would expect from laptop speakers. You know, they lack a bit of low end and you can't drive them very hard, but they're perfectly adequate for, you know, listening. I was using it in the hotel as my Spotify unit. You know, it was perfectly acceptable for having Spotify on in the background. And if I played a game, it was more than good enough for, you know, playing a game on just fine.
Speaking of playing games, did you try playing some games?
I did try playing some
games.
And
how did it do?
Remarkably well, actually, compared to the 9630, last year's model. So one of my favourites, Grid Auto Sport, which I was playing with at 1080p and low settings, which were the default that this install picked up. The average frame rate was 41 frames per second for that game. And that's compared to 31 frames per second on the XPS 9630, the previous model. Goat Simulator ran at, I only test this because Alan added this to our test suite of...
You're welcome.
Diabolical games, and I have to endure this stupid goat for 15 minutes once a year or something. Anyway, that ran at 40 frames per second, which was considered, I think it was like 20, I think the previous model did it at.
Yeah, this is not a game that's tuned for any kind of performance.
Which is why it's a great one to anything. Because if you've got brute force power yeah. it'll work fine. But if yeah. you don't, then it's noticeable, which is why I like using it.
And then the Talos principle at 1080p using OpenGL. And the reason I used OpenGL was to compare it with last year's review. That was running at 58 frames per second compared to last year's model, which was running at 30. So generally, game performance is, you know, improved. I mean, generally, performance is excellent because it's got that new CPU, which is quad core as opposed to dual core now. So it's generally better. And when you plug in an external GPU, it's as good as anything I've plugged an external GPU into.
One of the... obviously, when you use it for work, one of the things you're going to use a lot of the time is, you know, you're going to be on Hangouts and Skype calls and stuff like that. And one of the complaints from these Dells is due to the Infinity display, they've put the webcam in the bottom corner, so you get a fabulous up nose shot yes. of the person you're talking to. Is that still the case?
It's not quite the same. So thankfully, that webcam is now centered at the bottom of the screen.
Right.
You get it under your chin.
Right.
It is still at the bottom of the screen, however. So that has the unfortunate side effect that if you want to type on your keyboard whilst you're in a meeting, you now give everyone 3D stereoscopic, you know, vision of your fingers, which is a bit off-putting. But you don't get that weird sort of off-center angle anymore. And what I did find, the quality is very good. It's a 720p webcam and the quality is perfectly acceptable. It's better than average, much better than average. But what I did find is if you set it up and you sit back from the laptop, so if you sort of just push yourself, you know, 30 centimeters away from the desk, you can actually get a decent framing of yourself with the built-in webcam.
Right. Awesome. Cool. So, any closing thoughts, summaries about this laptop?
Would you
gonna
buy
add it to your pile of laptops?
I'd dearly like to. So, I tell you one other thing I did try, which this is a killer feature in my example. I was able to update the BIOS and the firmware just using Linux. So, Dell have their partner overlay repository added, which means all of the firmware update utilities work properly. So I was able to update the firmware all from within the operating system. This model, I think more than any XPS 13 before it, is a genuine workstation replacement in an ultra-portable, ultra-compact, ultra-book form factor.
Do we have like the highest spec? Can you put more storage, more RAM in this thing? You said that we don't have the highest resolution display, and that's
you can get one with the UHD display and a 1 terabyte SSD. But in terms of RAM and CPU, this was the top specs.
Nice.
And they're excellent. Now, would I get one? Very tempted, but actually, I've fallen back in love with my XPS 15. And despite not being able to use it on the tiny tray tables on aeroplanes, that's probably going to become my main portable machine now. Mm. And I'm likely to sell my other XPS 13s as a result. But for anyone that's looking for an ultra portable Ubuntu workstation,
yours will be on eBay.
Yeah, mine. Perfect.
If you love the command line as much as we do, send us a command that will blow our minds, and we might even mention it on the show. Send your command line love to show@ubuntupodcast.org.
And this week's command line love is CoinTop. Alan, tell us about CoinTop.
So CoinTop, I discovered over the Easter weekend, is a command line interactive user interface application for tracking cryptocurrencies. So you can easily install it. It's available as a snap. You're welcome. Snap install CoinTop and then run CoinTop in a terminal. And it shows you a list of all the cryptocurrencies and their current worth, each of them. And it shows it to you in the terminal directly in a kind of HTOP style user interface with, you know, the biggest one at the top and the smallest one at the bottom, with hotkey presses that can sort by, you know, amount of change or the value of the entire you know, amount of the cryptocurrency or whatever, whatever's moving the most and so on. It's quite a nice little application for just, it does one thing and it does one thing brilliantly. It's really, really nice. Yeah. CoinTop.
Great.
It uses, I should mention, it uses coinmarketcap.com for the data. Right. So it's obviously has to go online to get all the data, but it's one of those things you could just leave running like on a terminal in the corner of your screen and have it refresh periodically and show you, you know, if you're into cryptocurrencies, it'd be a nice way to keep that kind of stuff up to date. And it's really lightweight. It's only, I think it's only 2 megabytes in size. Yeah, it's really nice.
Cool.
We can never have too much feedback. Reading your feedback means that we have to come up with less content. So if you're a Redditor, you can comment on our shows through our subreddit, /r/UbuntuPodcast.
And now it's time for all of your wonderful feedback. And to start us off this week, Torin Doyle emailed us to show@ubuntupodcast.org.
A question for each of ye. Is your computer a desktop or a laptop? And why?
Ooh. Well, it depends which computer you're talking about, really.
Your main computer.
My main computer. Well, I've got a main computer at work, and I've got which is a desktop, and I've got a main computer at home, which is a laptop. And then I've got another main computer at home, which is a Steam box.
Ah.
So, sorry, I'm not very useful for this.
Yeah, okay. So I guess I would say my main computer, in the one that I sit at most of the time and I'm sat at right now, is a laptop on a desk. It never goes anywhere. It sits exactly where it is and never goes anywhere. But it has two external displays plugged in. So it's not far off being a desktop. It's got desktop class components in it, like a chunky NVIDIA card. So, yeah, it's laptop form factor, but desktop class.
Do you ever take it with you places?
I think it's left the house twice, maybe. Right.
How about you, Martin?
I have a NUC. I have a Skull Canyon NUC as my main workstation. Oh. And I've chosen that because I'm a external GPU hipster. And I have a small thing bolted to the back of the monitor and then the GPU attached to it so I can play games and stuff.
Cool. Next up, Par Moberg emailed.
How do I use snaps? Can I update them? The documentation for SnapD is appallingly bad. Okay. Yes, you're right, actually. The documentation isn't great and we are improving that. So I appreciate that feedback. You are right. How do I use snaps? Well, you can open GNOME software and find them and install them. And you don't need to update them because they update automatically in the background. Yep. Awesome.
Next up, Joe Borg tweeted.
Worth looking at Go Crazy. And what's I that? Did. I looked at Go Crazy. Yeah. And it's a pure Go user land for your Raspberry Pi 3 appliances.
This is really cool. So I was talking on the last show about rewriting my doorbell in Go. And this is basically a way, if you've written something in Go which you want to run on a Raspberry Pi and you just want your Go program to run, you can use this to basically build an SD card image which just runs Go programs. Unfortunately, I can't use it because I also need some other stuff running in the background, which isn't Go programs. It's stuff from the Raspbian repository. But it's a good solution if you've just got some Go stuff which you want to run in a sort of embedded environment. Next, Frank Mayer posted to our Facebook page.
Good job. I love to hear your show once a week. By the way, I'm wondering why the sound quality reminded me to go to the bathroom sometimes. I prefer that train passing in the background rather than the sound of speaking into the toilet sound. Maybe you want to improve the recording and MP3 compression. I'm not sure if you find a better lame preset for voice, etc. Cheers. Keep going. Thank you for the feedback, Frank. It was a bit exceptional, the start of our season, because as we may have mentioned, Martin and I were in Budapest in a hotel room, well, in the boardroom in the yeah. hotel, and the audio
acoustics.
Yeah, the acoustics in that room were not good for podcasting. Yes. We apologise profusely. It's one of those things when you're a podcaster and you're doing things a bit on the fly, you try and take all the equipment with you that you think you're going to need, plus also all the equipment that you need to actually, you know, do your job. And sometimes you don't have everything with you that would make everything perfect, and that's my fault. So yeah, we'll try not to do that again.
Tom Ormiston posted on our YouTube channel.
Great show as always. My simplest KDE tips for complete newcomers. Don't forget you can just click on the desktop and start typing for what you want. No need to click the super key for KRunner. Also install and try out Yaquake terminal. You may find it easier than the standard console terminal. Also, install the Event Calendar Plasmoid. It's fantastic. Remove your standard toolbar clock and switch to this instead.
I'm going to try all of these. I did not know about the just type. But the problem is I don't often have the desktop
visible.
Yeah. Yes, I've almost always got like one of half a dozen applications open. And pressing the super key is not difficult. Because I've got my hands on the keyboard anyway, so just pressing the super key is not hard. I will certainly try out the event calendar. Yaquake. I quite like console.
Yaquake is basically like a tilde wrapper, but for console.
Yeah, I'm quite like console though. The traditional console. I like being able to alt tab to it, like I can alt tab to anything else. So yeah, thank you for those tips though.
Cool. Peter Charuza emailed us.
Just listened to the latest episode of the podcast, Season 11, Episode 4, and I want to thank you and Michael for making those suggestions and changes to KDE. Everything you mentioned annoyed me no end while using KDE as a desktop. The bouncing icons especially. Changing the theme on the bottom taskbar to reduce brightness always resulted in undesirable effects, like no longer being able to see the clock or animation names. Dark text on dark, likely user error, but gave up trying to modify it for something that just worked out of the box. GNOME. I'm thinking of giving it another go with the changes in 1804. Thanks again. Yeah, I'd strongly recommend giving it a go in 1804. Like, KDE has opened my eyes. Like, I've been a Unity fanboy for 8 years or so, and using KDE and using Ubuntu Mate on other laptops, I've seen the light, and it's good to try these other options where you can.
John Q. Glass posted a comment on our YouTube channel.
I use Firefox containers daily and really appreciate that feature of Firefox. And as we said on the last show, there's also now a special Facebook container thingy plugin that will help you confine Firefox to just one profile as well.
This was my biggest bugbear when I was switching from Chrome to Firefox, and the container thing is just brilliant. I really enjoy it now. Having a container for work, for home, a separate one for Facebook, and another one for random sock puppet accounts I used to troll people on the internet.
Yep.
It's great.
So I'm back on Firefox full time now, and I also make use of the containers. And I think it was Michael that mentioned this. If you long click on the plus for the new tab, it then gives you a pick list of all of your containers, so you can open a new tab in the container that you want, and that's helped me significantly.
Oh my gosh, I just did that, and that's just it's getting better and better every day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
magic. Cool. Brofen also posted a comment on our YouTube channel.
People tend to speak about what they dislike. I was stating my love of Unity, but there were many opposed. Would love to see Unity 8 official flavor. Yeah, that would be cool, actually, if maybe 1810 is the right time to have...
That's a good time to introduce a new flavor. Yeah, definitely.
People mobilized who are interested in maintaining it. That's the big problem, is people need to step up to maintain the packages and fix them when they break and, update them and, do the release management and all that kind of stuff. And that's quite a commitment. So
maybe with some assistance from the guys at UB Ports, this will all be possible now.
Yeah, it could be.
Cool. And Golang Junkie also posted a comment on our YouTube channel.
Go is a fun lang, plus moving from C to C from Go is super easy. And
why would
I
want to move to C if you've already got Go?
Well, maybe, it's a transitional language if you really want to, torture yourself.
The whole point of Go was because people were fed up of writing C.
Yeah,
anyway,
exactly. And I saw that Michael also commented on that and said, I suggest by your name, which is Golang Junkie, you may be a little biased.
And finally, Matthew Boone emailed us asking about Linux Mint coverage. So we've decided there's a segment in our thoughts on that. So mash that like button and stay tuned. That's all for episode 6. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed Martin's thoughts on the new Dell XPS 13.
Cool. If you've got any questions about that we didn't cover in the review, feel free to send them in as feedback and I will answer them after the fact, providing my decrepit brain can remember.
Of course, you could also ask directly in our Telegram channel. If you go to ubuntupodcast.org/telegram, you'll find us hanging out there. You can always ask us questions in there. We're very friendly.
Yeah.
Well, if you've got ideas for segments or
600 other people in there who are equally friendly and lovely as well. Well, most of them.
Most of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh dear, we might have a few fewer now.
Yeah, cut that out. Cut that out.
Yeah. Will do.
Who's doing the editing this one? Is it me? Oh. I'll cut that out.
All right.